Blog Talk Radio.
Brother Mao.
Shalom. Let's see. Sister Rachel, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, Sister Rhea. Good morning to each of you. See if anybody else going to join
morning.
This morning. I was sitting here morning thinking about all that Yah has been saying. And I know there are people who talk about having plans of trying to buy land and, you know, trying to get away from the cities because of what's happening and what's coming. And it seems like we're all trying to do separate things. you know, doing things on our own, but we have to know that there's strength in numbers.
Amen.
If we go off by ourselves, then it's going to be rough, for sure. But there's strength in numbers. And so I had been sitting here playing around with finances and things like that and things that I have available to me. The most I put it on my heart to go and buy land but pay cash for it so that, you know, we just own it outright. Having no note on it. But then I was looking at how to get dwellings on it, and through the VA, because I'm retired military, and so there's things that I qualify for. I bought my first house with my VA loan, but then when I sold the house, I sold it to another veteran, so I got all of my, you know, my rights back. I've been looking at the VA will actually finance for me to build multi-tenant housing on whatever land I buy. You know, no money down. I just have to prove that, you know, I can rent it. That won't be a problem doing that. But I want to do this rurally, you know, away from the cities. So just looking at that, but also looking for where, you know, it's been in my heart to do it in northern Arizona, but if someplace else comes up that the most I said is more suitable, it's a better fit, then I would also be open to that, to doing that. But I would say, you know, I would want the group to consider, you know, everybody who may be serious about this, who understands what's coming, to go in together. And, you know, it's a large commitment, and I understand that. But I want, you know, at least consider it. I am very serious about this. As I said, if I have to do it by myself, you know, that'll be what it is.
Thank you.
I hear you, Denise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so there is, you know, what I'm trying to do is figure out how to structure it such that I can take the people element out of it and that it is an organizational thing. Because, as I said, the organization has to survive generations. So it can't be where, you know, there's only one person or one family that's trying to control everything. It's got to be controlled by a body. And the body has to agree, you know, so that things are written in such a way that we don't have somebody trying to get greedy or trying to, you know, not live up to the agreement. All things are possible. But, you know, if we try to do things individually, like you go buy a couple of acres here or whatever, I go buy a couple of acres here or whatever, then we're going to be segmented. I think that's how we are today. We're segmented, and we have no real strength because we have no real unity. The real unity comes in commitment. Shalom, my sister. Good morning.
I'm not on.
Sister Laura? I believe that's whose number that is.
Shalom.
Shalom. Yeah, commit, you know, unity comes in commitment. And what should be the thing that I want to unite us is that we are the people of the Most High and that we want to live by the same standards, that we fear the Most High, and that it's, you know, that's going to keep us from wanting to be at each other's throats, from, you know, being distrustful, of one another, because we got a bad problem of distrust within our own communities, and we know this. So the Most High has to be what unites us. And individually, you know, we have to genuinely care one for another. You know, everybody's got their little quirks. We're people. We're human. But there has to be commonality, and there has to be commitment. You know, everything that I've worked for, I've told my wife and my kids, hey, I'm going rural. This is where the Most High has sending me. This is what we're going to do. And if you know, if your life says you want to do something else, then you have to do what you feel like you have to do. But I don't believe in saying, you know, the Most High has said something to me and said to do it, and then I don't do it. That's just not me. So I know that he's leading me to get out of the cities. He's leading me to buy the land. But it is also to do it as an organization, so that, as I said, this needs, you know, if the Most High decides, we don't know when Messiah is going to return. We look for his return. We don't pray for it, because that's a day we're not supposed to even pray for it. But we look forward to it, especially if we're going to be doing what it is that he said to do. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I really do feel like I have clarity, more clarity than I had before. And I know the Most I was putting things in my spirit, but I understand more so what his requirements are, and not to place my own judgments over his, not to do things, you know, from my own standards, because then we start, you know, everybody's got a different standard. And this person feels this way about a thing, and that person feels this way about a thing. But if we use the word of the Most High as the standard, then everybody should be on the same standard. I just know that probably 10, 11 years ago, the Most High told me that this particular pandemic was coming, and we haven't seen the worst of it yet. And they're going to go back to, you know, they're going to be trying to force people to take the vaccine. They're going to try to be, you know, they're going to have to shut down the economies again. Because, you know, what the Most High is doing is to call, as I said, to call people to repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back toward me. And all those who can hear him will do that. All those who don't really believe, who believe in science, believe in the ability of mankind to overcome things, you know, they're really pitting themselves against him. So, you know, he has said that, that, you know, everything that he sends, for the most part, the world is not going to repent. So it's going to get worse. But it's to call them to repentance. So they can't say that they weren't given a chance. So anything that we see that's global, you got to know that the Most High's hand is in it, and it's setting up things for Antichrist, that man, to come on the scene.
Man.
As I said, I don't know exactly when this will happen. I know that these are the beginning of sorrows, and, you know, the world itself, you're going to see a big change in the world as well, okay? But in these cities, if you don't have the ability to grow your own food, you know, I was looking at farmers this morning, and this nation has done a job on, I'll just say, black farmers. I mean, I wouldn't want to count on the government for any type of support. We want to actually be self-sufficient. So looking at the technologies to produce our own electricity, to produce our own water, These technologies exist right now, and they're not that expensive. They're not expensive to do at all. It's just a matter of planning it, you know, to make sure that you buy the units and make sure you have, you know, for however many people. Solar and wind, I think a little bit over a year ago, I bought 2 wind generators. Just something for me to play with so that I could understand the technology and to figure out how to make this work on its own to power, you know, a home fully. You know, of course, having backup batteries and things like that. And then they got, like, atmospheric water generators. It pulls water out of the air. Now, you know, a black man invented this. I think he's from Missouri. And so, like, when the Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, he gave them one of these units because they didn't have any way that, you know, they didn't send anything down there. The United States wouldn't help Puerto Rico. So he sent them a unit, or a couple of them, and, you know, and it was producing water for a bunch of people. That same technology, I've looked at it. You know, other people have gotten into the business, so the cost of it has come down. So to buy those things and to put it on properties to where, you know, well water, getting water from the ground, most of the water in the ground, it is poisoned already. And so if you don't have a way of cleaning it, then, you know, you're in trouble. But anyway, just things that I've been tossing around. As I said, there are strength in numbers. But this is not something that you jump into lightly. It's not something that you say, oh, yeah, I can do that. Because it will not be a cakewalk. And most of us are older. Just being fair. I know I am. So.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right.
Amen. I can still get up and move around, still take care of business.
Oh, no.
Nothing in my own home I can't fix or don't fix myself, unless it comes to high voltage electricity, and I call somebody for that. But you know, if we are not mindful to the voice, you know, and I know that I'm not the only one being told this because I've heard, you know, several people say, you know, well, I want to buy some land somewhere, and I want, you know, before things get crazy, and I want to be able to, you know, get away. But, you know, you cannot survive on your own. No person is an island unto themselves. You know, you're out in the wilderness or wherever you're going to be, you get hurt, you got nobody to depend upon, that's a bad thing. That's like, you know, I was looking at people living in Alaska. In the wilderness in Alaska. And, you know, they're out there on their own, so they have to be self-sufficient. They got to, you know, find their own food. They got to, anything breaks, they got to repair it, all this stuff. So you have to have that ability. You have to have that type of nature about you. You know, if we're trying to stay close to the city, then that doesn't really help us, especially when the transportation systems break down, or they can't deliver food to the grocery stores, and people can't find food. You know, things will get crazy,
yeah,
really crazy. And so, you know, that's why most I said, don't be, you know, even in the script you said, you know, when you see these signs, get out of the cities. There's a reason for that, because, you know, the more people that you are around in the bigger cities and you have nothing in common, let's say that if everybody lived in the same place, then the church or the body in that local area, they should stick together. But the truth of the matter is, you're still living in your own separate dwellings miles apart. So community is very important. And so what the Most High is putting on my heart is to, I've been looking at like 100 acres, but maybe more, depends upon where it's at, you know, just to start. But rural, 100 acres, And then, like I said, using my VA loan, the government in that aspect to say, okay, I have the land, I want to put this type of dwelling on it, and I want you to finance it. And, you know, I have the income for it. And have them to do that, but it'll be multi-tenant. You know, I won't just build one home, but build three or four to start off with. And then, you know, to go from there. But, you know, to make it to where when we need to go someplace, you know, I would probably have to live there for the VA to do that. But when we need to go, we have to have, you know, you have to have some place to go. Can't just say, well, we're going to get up out of the city. Where are you going?
Right.
I have no real ideal. Who are you going to be with? Don't have no ideal. So, you know, it needs to be organized. People need to, you know, have bought into it and understand that, hey, anything goes down, this is where you're headed. And you need to be heading there probably before, or come and live on the property and help develop and take care of the property. Because I said, growing your own food, you can't just, you know, I did this as a test last year in here in Arizona. And I and my son put up a little greenhouse, probably 30 feet by 10 feet. And it takes a while for vegetables and things to come up. So it's not something you just say, oh, we're going to start growing this when we leave. No, it's got to already be in place. Because you can't, you know, you can only bring so much food with you. Or else you'd be carrying a whole lot of water and a whole lot of food. But the truth of the matter is, we would want the food already to be growing. That means somebody has to be there taking care of it to do that. I was looking at, you know, certain animals. You know, everybody doesn't eat meat, yet and still, I want something like some chickens or some goats or something like that for those that do. I don't think I could get into cows that quick. Anyway, just food for thought, okay? I am, as I said, we know these things are coming. People feel it. But feeling it and doing nothing is that's pointless. Yeah, that's pointless. And, you know, I know that we want to save our families. We want to help our families. For those that will do it, as I said, everybody can't do this. And the commitment is to the Most High. The commitment is that we want to be His elect. We don't want to get it wrong. We want to live by His standards, His statutes, His laws, His commandments. We want to have love one for another, genuinely care about each other, your well-being. Each individual has to really decide how much, you know, what is it that you're really seeking out of life at this time? What is it that you're seeking out of life? Are you able to commit to anything like that? Because, like I said, it's not a small ask at all. And I understand this. And I'm not trying to be a Jeffrey Dahmer or whoever those other people are that they were just getting people to try to follow them. I'm not trying. If the Most High puts this on your heart, that's what I want you, where I want you at. I've always told you, don't follow me. Okay, follow the Most High. I'm a facilitator. I am a doer. I'm a laborer. anytime the Most High has told me to do something, with the exception of a couple of times, and I paid for them. You know, he's like, you know, when you hear the voice of the Most High say, don't you know I'll kill you? You know that he's not playing. Through disobedience, because I was being disobedient. I was told to do something. I was like, I don't want to talk to that person. And I got in my car, and I heard it clearly. Don't you know I'll kill you? Backed up.
Hello, huh? Hello.
So, the things that I tell you because I'm not telling you things that I've heard, okay? I'm telling you things that I have actually experienced. I'm not telling you somebody else's story, somebody else's witness. The Most High has been in my life all my life, and I just had to learn to listen to him. So, I've testified to you guys before. I shouldn't be here for a number of reasons. But, yeah, had something for me to do and still has something for me to do. So, I want you to consider, I will put together something, but I don't want it to be on a, I know what I'm putting into it, and it is what I've accumulated in my lifetime. I don't have a problem with that because I'm not into, like I said, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm trying to be obedient. And so, if like I said, the Most High blesses me with $5 million. I don't have $5 million. We got $5 million. That's my outlook. If he blesses me with $10 million, I don't have $10 million. We would have $10 million. Whatever the Most High said to do with it, whether it's buy the land and build the buildings and do all this stuff, that is what would happen. And I would just say, hey, come as you can. If you're tired of living in the city, you're tired of being exposed to this corrupt system, you want to live by the standards of the Most High, then come. That's where my heart is at. So, whatever he will allow me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I just want to make sure that it's set up in such a way, as I said, I don't know. He hasn't revealed to me. He says, no man knows the exact hour or the day. I go back and I look at Noah. Noah was preaching 120 years before the Most High caused the flood to come. If the Most High is putting it in your spirit and in your heart that these are the last days and that we should be getting ready, no matter where we go, eventually he will gather us. But we still have to pay attention to the crazy things that are about to come and happen. And we have to be prepared to survive in those things. And we count on him. Even when we go in, into the wilderness, whatever we put up, the Most High still has to be protecting it. He still has to be blessing it. He still has to be giving us favor. So as keep the weather and all those things, anything that he controls, and he controls everything, that he has favor, that he doesn't allow those things to come on us. I mean, this is how I count on him, that he doesn't allow these things to come on us. We're in his hands. But that don't mean that you don't sit back on your hands and don't do anything. So there's a time for everything. And right now the time is to prepare and to prepare for what's coming. So when the cities start going crazy, we don't want to be anywhere near a city. Still need to be able to protect ourselves. Still need to be able to provide. Right now, if you lost electricity in your house and you couldn't get it back, how would you survive? You can't use the refrigerator. How would you survive? Those are the things that are coming up. We count on this right now. We're totally dependent upon technology. If the freeway systems, if the cars, okay. Anybody ever heard of an EMP?
What?
EMP.
Say that again.
Electrical magnetic pulse.
Oh, yeah.
If the Russians or the Chinese were to explode a nuclear bomb 20 miles above the U.S., didn't have to hit the soil, everything electrical would be fried that was on.
Oh, wow.
That means your cell phone, your computer, your car, your refrigerator, everything that runs off electricity would be fried. How long could you survive, as I said, without any of those things right now? Think about this. And that's not even a worst case scenario. But that's one possible scenario that this country is very afraid of. Grocery stores, refrigerators don't work. Can't store any food. How would you survive? So I'm not hearing anything. So we would just be what? Stuck? We'd
yep,
have to go out in the street and be with everybody else trying to fight
yep.
from house to house.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my sister. I mean, you know that would be chaos.
It would be.
And that would be crazy. And you know, if you can't go to the grocery store and you don't have any food growing in your backyard, how long do you think you can go without food? 30, 40 days? After that, I mean, that's a quick fast. But after that, then you're either going to be, you're going to be doing something to survive. Okay, or you're just going to what? Die. This pandemic, if the worst is going to get, and it's going to get worse, it shut down the country, and if you got so many people infected with this strand that they can't drive trucks, they can't make deliveries, the stores are closed. Last time, you know, they didn't close down all the stores. They just, you know, you had to be covered up to go in. But if it gets so bad, how many of you were able to, at the beginning of this pandemic, stock up any food for yourself that would be for 6 weeks or 2 months?
Well, I did.
You had that ability.
I did.
All right. Amen. Anybody else?
What was that, Brother Miles?
Denise did too.
How many of us had the ability to stockpile any food or supplies that would last us at least 2 months at the beginning of this COVID pandemic?
I do. Well, the Father blessed me to. The only reason why I have is because the Father blessed me to work at the food shelf. So I have food coming out these cabinets, out the storage, out the garage, because he showed me that's why he had me working there. So he allowed me to stock up on non-perishables. It's all from the Father.
Amen. Now, if the food banks get closed down because they're not getting deliveries, the shelters, I'm saying that the system shuts down because we almost came to that this time.
Yep.
Okay. How long do you think you could survive if it was shut down for 6 months? I mean, where they couldn't, you know, the grocery stores, there's nothing on the shelves. There's nothing in the freezers. They're not making deliveries because the people who drive the trucks are too sick. The stores, you know, can't open because the people who work in the stores are too sick. How long do we think that we could survive like that? Because these are things that are coming.
Man.
They're coming. And, you know, the Most High, like I said, these are coming to call people to repentance. But a lot of people still going to die. we don't have to. But, you know, you don't start preparing for things like that. Like when the COVID broke out, yeah, that caught me off guard. And typically, I mean, we had food in the house and we could have lasted for a month. But then, yeah, I said, you know what, non-perishables, canned goods, we have two freezers. They were both stocked, still stocked. But, you know, if you lose electricity, whatever you got frozen is gone. It's going to last a couple of days. That's it. So, you know, your rice and beans and canned goods and things like that, toiletries, the things that, you know, people take for granted, those things have to be planned for. You know, we'll go back to the days when, I just put it this way. If you couldn't go to the store and couldn't buy your even your common products to maintain yourself, how long do you think you could survive? Can't get deodorant, can't get toothpaste. You know, got to go back to, you know, finding ways to brush our teeth, deodorize, wash, and do all those other things. Because the modern convenience is not there. So these are things that have to be taken into account, have to be considered, have to be prepared for. A lot of it is a mentality. You know, if we grew up in the city, if we grew up in the cities, it's very hard to live rurally because you're just not used to living that way. Used to running to the convenience store to pick up something. Used to going to Walmart, Sam's Club, the local grocer. And so we have to learn to be self-sufficient. Because these things are coming. When exactly they're going to hit, when exactly this next version of this virus will be to the point that, you know, it's just going to be infecting folks. And if you're, you know, even with the vaccines that they're coming out with, and they're trying to get everybody vaccinated, you know, vaccinated. But if you've studied diseases, like the common cold. Anybody know why they can't cure the common cold? Or the flu?
Because, I don't know. I would think because a virus can't live outside its host.
You know, a virus is not alive.
That's okay.
A virus is not alive. Bacteria is alive, but a virus is not alive.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can't really kill it. So what they come up, you know, let's see how I can explain a virus. Okay, everybody knows what Ajax is, right? The cleaning product Ajax?
Right.
Okay. Or, no, let's use something simpler. An Alka-Seltzer. Everybody's heard of an Alka-Seltzer, right? An Alka-Seltzer would sit there until you add what to it?
Water.
Then it activates. That is what a virus is. It's just some chemicals that are, you know, it's arranged like DNA, but it's not actually alive. It doesn't activate until it gets into an environment like your body that causes it to activate. And so it has a chemical barrier around it, and what they do is these shots are supposed to cause the chemicals that it has in its body made up, that it doesn't affect the human body or doesn't activate when it gets into the human body, or it's weaker when it activates. So, you know, they've sort of learned the chemical codes. But a virus is not really alive. It's just some chemicals.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Where bacteria is alive. You know, it's a living organism. The virus, they can't cure the common cold or the flu virus because they change chemically. The flu virus every year is different than the flu virus last year. That's why they keep talking about all these different strands. Because it changes. So, you know, with this COVID, it's mutating so fast and changing so fast that even people who gotten vaccinated for the previous strands, they still get the new strand that's out. And they'll say, oh, well, it affects them a little bit less than it does, you know, a person who's not vaccinated. But it's still killing people who have been vaccinated. The new strand that comes out will just kill more people. And this one is spreading so fast that, you know, they say eventually we will all be in contact with it. Again, my faith is in the Most High. That He will protect us from it. That it won't have the effect on us that it has on the rest of the world if we are doing what He says to do. But each and every person, you know, you got to go by your faith.
Huh.
Because the truth of the matter is, it really is about that. Now, I'm very scientific minded. I always have been. You know, I study these things. I understand what they're saying when they're talking about, you know, a ribosome, which is like it's a part of DNA. And so what they are doing with this particular vaccine, they are doing gene modification. It gets into your body, and it modifies your genes. But they don't know what effect that's going to have 3, 5, 10 years from now. So they didn't test it. They don't have any empirical data to say, hey, we know that 10% of the people, they develop some type of cancer behind this shot because they don't, you know, they just really invented it. But they are modifying your genes. That's another reason why I wouldn't take it, that I didn't take it. They don't know what the effect is going to be long term. And then because they're playing with genes, you have to be very careful with the government anyway in these areas because when I was in the military, I know that they were playing with genes to where they could create a virus. AIDS. Everybody know that AIDS does not naturally occur in nature? And the one species that it does occur in, they went to that species and got it to modify it so that it would take in humans. And that it was intended to take out immoral people. Go ahead, my sister.
Was it the koala bear that they went and got the AIDS from?
No, it was actually a monkey in Africa. That's why they came out with that thing saying that it was spread by people messing with monkeys.
Right. Because I watched the Animal Channel a lot, and they were saying that the koala bears are AIDS carriers. So that's the only reason why.
And
they
could be. But, see, there are species of diseases that don't jump species. So those koala bears, the AIDS they got, probably only affect koala bears.
Okay.
Have no effect on people. The AIDS that these monkeys had that they went and got it from, it doesn't jump species. They went and genetically modified it so that it would take in a person. But what they didn't count on was, you know, I would challenge you all to go read Henry Kissinger's The Year 2000. Yeah, Henry Kissinger's report, The Year 2000, and what they actually intended with the AIDS virus. Because the AIDS virus, you know, they told you that you could catch AIDS through sex, okay? Mm-hmm. But truthfully speaking, did they try to charge people with murder for somebody who had AIDS who tried to bite like a police officer?
No.
You ever hear any cases like that?
No.
Where you actually can catch AIDS through kissing. It's in the saliva. In the blood. If it's in the saliva, somebody bites you and breaks the skin, you can catch AIDS. And this is what they were not telling people. And what they found out was, you know, who it was intended for, hate to say it, but it was intended for what they called the immoral in the society. So they created it so that people who were having, you know, a lot of sex, who were sharing blood, anything that you would pass bodily fluids with, intravenous needles, things like that. But what they didn't understand was the moral majority wasn't that moral. So when it started going from gay people to heterosexual or from bisexuals, passing it to heterosexuals and things like that, then all of a sudden it became, it surpassed what they were trying to do. Ebola is not naturally occurring in nature. So I know that the government has the ability to, through DNA, there's a word that there's a name that they call it, but they can actually manipulate the DNA. So they can say, we only want this DNA, this virus, to affect people with brown eyes. We only want this virus to affect people who are Polish and they have this gene or this set of genes. They have gotten that good with it. And so when they're saying, oh, well, we can manipulate the genes, the DNA, and now we're putting it in immunizations. But because of what they're fighting, they still don't know because they haven't studied it, don't have the long-term data. They don't know what effect those shots will have on people, like I said, 3, 5, 10 years from now. So you have to be very careful with this stuff. I've never been against immunizations. But when they start talking about messing with DNA, and having given you a shot that alters your DNA, yeah, I got a problem with that. Okay, so we have to know what they're doing, and they're going to continue to do this stuff. You may be safe, and you may not be. All depends upon, you know, if you want to put your life and in your hands into the hands of the government. Now, we know that throughout history, we've had, the government has used the people, and it's not just black people, but, you know, after World War II, they used a lot of black people for experiments. This is known. You know, you can go look this stuff up yourself. Whether it was with syphilis, and we want to know what the long-term effect of syphilis is, so we tell you one thing, but we're really shooting you up with syphilis. And you're coming back in having these complaints, and we're just documenting your complaints. We're not doing anything to help you because we want to know what the effects are. AIDS. You know, the first thing they said when they wanted to do COVID, well, it's affecting, you know, this is why a lot of black people were against it. It's affecting mostly, you know, black people, people of color, and those with pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And this virus does do that. But the truth of the matter is, all medicine in this country is based upon 35-year-old white men. And this is not to be racist. This is just pointing out facts. 35-year-old white men, that's what the medicine is based upon. So if, you know, they're making the medicines and the cures based upon if you're a 35-year-old white male. Those genetics, the effect that it has on the other races, they'll say, oh, well, there's a this certain percentage chance that this shot will have this effect on you. Well, it has more of an adverse effect because we're not genetically identical. We're close, but it'll have different side effects on another race. And so we have, that's where all the medicine in the U.S. is based upon. That's the standard that they use. So you got to understand, anything that's developed, so when they said, hey, we want, you know, people to volunteer for this particular shot, we don't know what the effect's going to be. Some of y'all probably will die. Some of y'all may just get sick. Some of y'all may only have slight symptoms. Some of you may not have any symptoms. So they can't, you know, they don't know when this thing, do you know that, here's another one. They have super viruses that are coming out that they cannot kill with penicillin and that kind of stuff. Anybody ever heard of that?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, because they've used it too much. They've used the penicillin and these other products like that too much to where the viruses and the bacteria have started to become resistant to it. Oh, we used to that. I mean, you got to get something else because we didn't become used to that. And it's serious.
I know, but it just sounds funny.
Yeah, I'm making it, you know. Yeah, I like to laugh and joke too, but it's serious. Because you can go into the hospital, get something that they can't give you a shot for. It's Mercer and SARS. A lot of these things are penicillin resistant because they gave out penicillin so much, the viruses and the bacteria became resistant to it. And so, trust me, one of those, and COVID is an offshoot of one of those, but they're going to be, that's why they had to come up with the cure for COVID, the vaccine for it, because penicillin won't kill it. And none of the other vaccinations that they have like that would kill it. It's resistant. Whereas in the past, they could have just given you a penicillin shot and, you know, it would have gone in and killed the virus. So coming up with these superbugs that are resistant to vaccinations and COVID is going to be, like I said, it's going to get even worse because it just keeps mutating so fast that, you know, there's a new strand out and it gets into the population and they don't have, you know, a shot for it. So they're going to come up with, oh, we got to have another booster shot. You got to have another booster
mm-hmm.
shot. Okay, so just understand that this is from the Most High. And again, it's not just going to be with these vaccinations. It's going to be with the weather. It's going to be with the food chain as these things start to come on. You know, they're talking about global warming, and it is very real. But it's also a natural cycle in the Earth's cycle to warm up and cool down. But the Most High can use that same thing in the last days to make it to where, okay, I'm going to make it to where nothing green survives. You have done things, and the planet is designed such that if this happens, it doesn't allow the rays of the sun to come through like it did. So it's not enough sunlight rays coming through to feed plant life, and it starts to die off. The plant life dies off. Everything that eats the plant life starts to die off. Those that eat the meat eaters, Those, well, you know, people who are vegetarians, if nothing green would grow, then you'd have to become a meat eater. Okay. Now the meat, those nothing green is growing, then the cows and the and everything else that eats the plants, they would start to die off, and all the meat eaters would start to die off too. But this is what the Most High says is coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he says is coming. So whether it comes in phases and you know, culminates in this big event, you know, in the book of Revelations, the Most High says he's going to kill in stages everything in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people survive off of seafood, things that come from the sea. But what if you couldn't get anything from the sea? And then everything that's in the waters, the fish that are in fresh water, they die out. Then the plants on the planet. These are the things that he says are coming that are written in the book of Revelation. When exactly? How fast? I don't know. I just know that this is the beginning of sorrows. So is the man on the planet that could be the Antichrist? He could be. I don't know that he is or not. Most High hasn't revealed it to me. Hasn't put it in my spirit that yes, he's here or no, he's not. I just know the things that we're seeing, the thoughts of people and men, you know, the fact that they have gay people can marry gay people. Every society where that has happened in the past, like the Greeks and the Romans, do you know that those societies didn't survive because of those things? Homosexuality was big in the Roman Empire. It was big in the Greek Empire. Just consider it part of life. When a country goes that route, judgment comes.
Mm.
So, you know, our country saying, oh, yeah, that's perfectly okay. And you got the European country saying, oh, yeah, that's perfectly okay. And then you got the people in Israel saying, yeah, that's perfectly okay. You know, judgment, this is global. It's not just, you know, the Greek society or the Roman society. They were global for their area, but they were widespread for their area. But the things that we are seeing now are global because men are able to influence each other globally. So what happens in one part of the world is known in the other part of the world. When before, in order for somebody to hear bad news from Europe, let's say back in the 1600s, that's going to take 3 or 4 months. By the time you got the news, it was 3 or 4 months old or a year old. Now we have that stuff, what, instantaneously. So we can see what's going on in the world instantaneously. We can be influenced by what's going on in the world instantaneously. And when, you know, you got every country out there trying to aspire to be like America because it's the home of the free, the home of liberty, you have the liberty to seek happiness, to seek wealth, to seek whatever makes you happy, as long as you don't directly hurt someone. So if you got two consenting adults, they say, hey, whatever two consenting adults want to do is okay by us as long as they're not hurting nobody else. That's not what the Most High says, though. You're at liberty to worship whatever being you want to worship in America. Think about this. This is not a Christian country. Even though the majority of the people claim to be Christian. But the basis for this country is freedom of religion. That means that you can worship whatever you want to worship. Want to worship your ashtray? You can. Want to worship that tree? You can, and you can make a church behind it. And anybody that wants to worship the ashtray with you can worship the ashtray with you. And according to the laws of this country, nobody is supposed to be able to say anything to you about it. Because that's what the country was based upon, freedom of religion. So, you know, you can do whatever you want here. They already got people trying to get permissions to marry their animals. Seriously. Saying that they got the right to do it. Now, I know the Most High said anybody that lays with an animal is supposed to die. But because of the country that you're in, and because I think it's, who is this, Dr. Miles Monroe, he gave the best analogy of this, and I can't remember his wording to save my life, but, you know, you got two people that get together and they agree, you know, they are in the closet, let's say two gay men, and then they form a group. And now we got this group dynamic going on with these gay men, and they're looking out, you know, trying to get their rights. And then they bring it to the political stage, and now it's not just a group, but it's a nation. His wording, I have to find that lesson by him. It was the way that he stated it. It was just, you know, it was on point. But you got people, as I said, looking to have the right to sleep with and marry their animals. And then we live in that country, and then we don't say anything about those things. We just go along with the status quo. We're not our business. You're on the job. You know, I right now I'm working for Amazon. I work with transvestites. I mean, they're on my team. And I have to be cordial with them. And, you know, as a person, some of them are nice people. Still, their lifestyle. The world says, you know, I got to accept that. So I'm cordial, but, you know, I'm not accepting of that. But they have a right in this country to do it. And let me say it this way. If we are the priesthood and the priest of the Most High, and we're not involved in the local politics, we're not involved in the national politics, how do you expect to affect change? What everyone wants us to think about this, because so many of, and I'm going to speak about my Hebrew brothers and sisters, the Most High put us in the world to affect change. You are the salt of the earth. But if you're not doing anything to affect change in the earth, you have lost your flavor. You are no good. But to be cast out, that's what Messiah said. So we are in countries, and we are not trying to affect change. We're not trying to say, no, those things aren't right. We're not trying to say, no, those laws, the law shouldn't be written that way. We are going along for the ride and not doing anything. And we will answer for those things. Trust me, we will answer for it. But I just see this mentality amongst our people. I mean, prevalent. Like, we can't do anything. But I want to ask you a question to show you just how much power we actually do have. But because we are disjointed, because we are programmed, in the last 3, 4, 5 elections, how is it that they could tell you in what state before the election that they were going to have a problem? And it was always in the black community. Okay. So many of our people died for the right to vote. And for this generation and some of the previous ones, you know, when they were trying to stop you from voting, you know, Jim Crow laws, voter suppression, when they were active, and they still are doing these things. That's why they can tell you in what state, because they know what state they're going to do it in. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm not totally for the Democratic Party because I don't like a lot of their values, but the other party, they're 100% against us. So what the Democratic Party has done is tied everything that is ungodly to the African-American race. They say, hey, we need the black vote, and we need, we want gay rights. So we'll tie ourselves to civil rights, which were for former slaves. And do any of us even understand civil rights? Why do you have to have, as a person of color, civil rights, as a former slave, civil rights, and they have inalienable rights? Do we understand the difference between those two words? Inalienable rights are the rights that you are given by the Most High Elohim. They said the slaves didn't have those rights. The slaves had no rights given to them by the Most High. So when they freed, or so-called freed, the slaves, we need to give them some rights. We'll give them civil rights. We'll give them rights that says that we will be civil toward them. But because they were given to us, what else can be done? Whatever you're given can be what?
Taken away.
Taken away. Do you know that's what Donald Trump was trying to do?
Yep.
When he says make America great again, he wasn't talking about economically or anything like that, because he's bankrupt everything that he's got involved with. He's bankrupted every business he's had. When he was saying make America great again, he was talking about taking it back to white supremacy.
Slave. Because
his father was the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes, he was.
But because we're not involved with the politics, and because we don't research people, you know, we just go along for the ride. But we got to know what we're up against. So understand this. If you're claiming to be a Hebrew Israelite, it's not something that you should say or take lightly, because do you know that to say that you're a Hebrew Israelite, they have you under the Southern law? The Southern law, what is this organization called? A terrorist group. Do you know if under the Trump administration, to say that you were a Hebrew Israelite, you were considered a worse terrorist than the KKK? So this is not something that you take lightly, because if they classify you as a terrorist, then they have given themselves rights to come in and do certain things to you, and you have no rights. We've all heard of Guantanamo Bay, right?
Yeah.
where they kept all of the terrorists from 9-1-1 bombing?
Yeah.
And people that had didn't even have anything to do with it, but because they were suspects, some of them still down there. So you say you are a Hebrew Israelite. Southern log, I guess, wow, I must be getting old. But to say that you were a Hebrew Israelite, not what faction, you're not just this group, but just to say that you were that was to put yourself on the terrorist list. Did any of you know that? I guess not.
Brother Miles, how do you, this is not funny, but how do you know that I am on a terrorist list?
How do I know that you are?
Yeah.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
If you say you're a Hebrew Israelite, you are. Just in general.
Okay.
Just in, go look it up. I'll give you the organization, okay?
Amen.
I'm not saying things to just say them.
Oh, I know that, but...
I claim to be a Hebrew Israelite.
I
also know what it does because of what some of our brothers have done, what they say, what they do out on the corners, what the white supremacist government in this country has done. These things aren't to be taken lightly because it gives them authority to do things. So, I'll get you the organization so you can look it up for yourself.
Yeah, if you could please text it to the group, because I just applied for my passport and stuff, and then they have to do all this background check once again. That was my third one, but they do extensive background checks on you. But I already know that they have hidden groups and associations and things like that. So I was just curious where you find that information.
I think it's called the Southern Law Poverty Center or something like that. I'll get it. But they are the ones that if you want to know if anybody's on a terrorist list, you may not personally be on it, your name, but the group, Black Hebrew Israelite, is listed. So anybody that claims that, you know, if they say, are you a member of this group? And you say yes. If they wanted to enforce it, yeah, they could do, you have no rights if they invoke that. Just letting you know for sure, but I will get you the link. Things that we have to be aware of and have to understand that, like I have my passport. It didn't cause me a problem getting a passport. Nevertheless, they probably still don't know that I claim to be that if they don't do that extensive background check. You had to be arrested or something. But to claim it, just saying, letting you know, to claim it. So things that we have to be aware of, things that as we go forth, because, you know, I don't plan to shrink from these things, to draw back from or say, no, I'm not going to say that. Not anything that I'm shrinking from. I'm just telling you that I'm also aware, just claiming that, to say that I am the people of the book. They have us labeled. So, you know, things that, what I'm saying is you don't take this title or take titles unless you're willing to live with the consequences of those titles. Let me see if I can find this Southern Law. Let me see. Anybody got anything that's on their mind? Any testimonies?
Well, I'm all in favor of what you're trying to do, brother. I believe in what you're trying to do wholeheartedly.
Well, amen. Because
I have a friend in Texas, and he's pretty much trying to do the same thing. He says it's time.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's. I know it's in my heart. I know the Most High been giving me dreams and stuff about this stuff.
And by him placing it in your heart, Brother Miles, he done placed it in my heart because I can feel it.
Amen. Amen.
I get excited when you talk about it.
Amen. I know I'm excited about it. Yeah. And I pray that other people are as well. I'm only trying to do what the Most High has told me to do. And I know I'm not
praying
to do it by myself, but, you know, if that's the way it ends up, that's the way it ends up.
No, brother, I'm praying that he bless me that I can help you with the vision.
Amen.
I'm praying for that.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you, my sister. I really do. Let's see here. Anyway, anybody else got any testimonies?
Well, I just want to thank the Father for the breath of life. I just want to thank him that he has big for me, even though I have other little things happening. I just thank him that he has kept me from alcohol, from marijuana, and from eating dead flesh, and allow me to have a clearer mindset to do the things that I must do. And I do take this thing seriously. I take the word of God seriously. That's why I legally changed my name. That's why I was laughing when you said when they find out that you're a Hebrew Israelite, you're on the terrorist list, because I legally changed my name. But it's all good. I don't fear anybody but God. I know he has me, and whatever happens, happens. It's from him. So I just thank him that I'm sober-minded. I really thank him for that. And I just want to say hallelujah.
Amen. Amen to that. Glad that you are doing well in those areas. And, yeah, your name by itself. But nevertheless. Not saying it to be in fear, just saying it so that we have an understanding and awareness. Because it didn't start off that way. Okay, so I'm going to put this link in the room, and I'm going to find the one from the Southern Law one that the FBI and everybody goes by as well. So we have I'm going to send it through the text chat that we have going on.
Thank you.
That group.
I just want to thank the Father for everything he's doing. He's blessed me with the ability to stockpile some money so I can buy some property also. I just thank him for that and everything else.
Amen. Amen. As I was saying earlier, you know, the Most High has put it on people's hearts, you know, to do these things. And I'm seriously saying that separated, ununited, we are weak. But if we unite together to do these things, we can accomplish way more than we can individually. So I put the link in our text chat, the That's one. And then I'll find the one from the, I believe it's the son-in-law. Wow. Can't remember, I can't remember the name of this organization. Son-in-law Poverty Center or something like that. But just saying, we need to be aware of what's going on in the world. We need to be aware of how people are looking at us as a group. I already know that we are listened to outside of this group. I know that people are listening that we don't know are listening. Still not going to stop me from saying the things that the Most High has said to say. We're not terrorists. We're not looking to be terrorists. We are looking to establish the kingdom of the Most High in the world. We are looking to take territory for the kingdom of the Most High, but to bring about his standards, not the standards of the world. And the world is not going to like that either. So, you know, these are the things that I'm standing upon. And what I say, you know, it's recorded. They can download it. They can bring it into court, use it, whatever. I have not said anything that I'm not willing to take responsibility for.
Amen, bro.
So, you know, you have to be willing to live by your convictions. You have to be willing to stand up for what you believe in. I believe 100% in the Most High Elohim. I believe that, you know, he does get involved with the affairs of men. I believe he's going to come back and take over this planet. I believe that he has called us to establish his kingdom in the earth. We have to be about our Father's business. And so it's not just words for me. It really isn't. I just wish that I had started earlier, that I had, you know, the understanding that I have now. I wish I had it a long time ago.
Amen. Amen, bro.
So we have to do what we can do when we know to do it. And, you know, I am a firm believer. When you know to do right, the scripture said you ought to do what? Right.
Right.
And he that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I endeavor to do. What I know to do right, what I know to be right. I don't want to go before the Most High and he said, well, you knew that was right, why didn't you do it? So we don't want to go through the motions. You know, I have not taken action in the past because, you know, as I told my wife, I said, hey, I want you in this with me. But, you know, she made the statement to me, if you're doing something and I'm not with you and the Most High, he'll take care of it. I said, okay, those are your words. So I can't let you hinder me. If the Most High is going to, if you are in the way, then he's going to do what he's going to do. But those are out of your own mouth. So, you know, I've seen too many churches where the pastor's doing one thing and his wife is doing something else. And she's trying to pastor the church from beneath him. That doesn't work. And for a long time, it would not go into ministry because of that. But I have to, you know, I can't let my spouse keep me from doing what the Most High has called me to do.
Amen.
So, you know, it is what it is. I love her with everything. She's the love of my life. The Most High showed me her, said that's going to be your wife before we ever even met.
Amen.
Yet and still, he's got to come first. And I have to, you know, as I said, all these years that I should have been doing what I'm doing now, I didn't because of that. Because, you know, I don't want to be on a divided front. I don't want my prayers hindered for any reason. But I could not do it. So what will be.
Amen.
I just want you all to know that I am committed to this and that I'm faithful to it. I'm faithful to the Most High. And I'm praying that we all are getting that way. And that we're not taking this as a game, because it's not a game.
Man, bro.
My eternity is not a game, trust me. I don't want to end up in the lake. But, you know, that's not my sole motivation. My motivation is I really do love the Most High.
Amen. Amen, brother. That's the whole motivation.
Right.
Hallelujah.
I love the Most High. I love everything about him, you know, even the things I don't understand. And I do question him. I do. I take, if I got a question, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? I take it to him. And he has always given me an answer. Because I'm going to be truthful with you. There was a time in my life that I got into the Bible to disprove it. And the more I tried to disprove it, the more it proved itself. And the more he proved himself to me. Because I was thinking people were using this for a crutch.
Yeah. Amen.
But yeah, he showed me that he's real. He's genuinely looking for me. You know, even though you're looking to try to disprove, you know, this word, I'm going to reveal myself. So I have no doubt whatsoever, that the Most High is real, that he still talks to us, he still influences us, he still loves us, but he wants us to be what he wants us to be.
Man.
So we just want to do what's right in his eyes. And I pray to be around people who want to do what's right in his eyes. And who are not afraid to do it. Who are not worried about what people are gonna think or what they're gonna say.
Amen.
Because I just leave that as that. Because, you know, I got too many people, you know, I deal with other people outside of this group, and the more I deal with us as a people, the more I realize we are just in trouble.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just in trouble. And it's a sad thing, because I know they love the Most High in the way that they understand to love the Most High. They have a love for him. But then they are still walking in blindness. They're still blind to a lot of things. And no matter how many times I've talked to them over the years, they're still blind to it. So I just, you know, tell them, I say, hey, the Most I had to tell me, he had to show me, hey, you cannot show them what I don't mean for them to see.
Amen. Amen.
So stop doing it. Just teach the word and keep going.
Keep going.
Because if
Amen.
I want them to see it, I will open their eyes to it. You can't open the eyes of somebody that I have intentionally blinded. And that's, you know, this is just true word. We got too many people out there. That's why I said, do not follow me. If you hear the words of the Most High in my words, follow that. Follow him. Because I see too many people out there following men, and then when they see a crack in that man's armor, then they lose faith. Because their faith is in that man and not in the Most High.
Man.
So, yeah, follow the Most High. If you hear the Most High in me, follow those words. But I'm just a man. So, back to our roots. We come from an agrarian people, a people who were by trade what? Sheep herders, cattle herders.
Yep.
And part of getting the land is to also get back into that, because when you have your own food stock, you have your own, you know, if you're not, we're not going to be migratory, you know, we're not going to be wandering around in the wilderness, but you have your own food, you have your own animals, you become more self-sufficient. You don't rely on the world. You also don't have to conform. Only where you have to. I mean, there's things, if you're in a country, you gotta. We are also commanded to live by the laws of the country, except for where they violate the laws of the Most High. Then we're not supposed to conform to those. And the only way that you can do that, you know, and be not bombarded by it, is that you have your own community. You have your own, you know, you're believing in a certain way. You are living a certain way. You have a standard. You know, there's some people, in I was looking at this morning about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. There's some people in Europe that are going back and rebuilding the castles and trying to live like they are, and really trying to live like they were in the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th century. So the modern world is here, but they are out there, and there's not a small number of them either, going back to those same standards, because they're saying, hey, this is when the church was, you know, real, had, you know, a real powerful say in everybody's lives. The church, the Catholic Church, controlled everything that they did. And they're going back to that. But then, you know, they're showing some of their celebrations, you know, like jumping over the fire. Anybody know anything about jumping over the fire?
No, I don't.
We read about that with Molech. Remember when the Most High said, don't pass your children through the fire?
Right.
They practice this. And so as soon as I saw it, I recognized it. And me, you know, before I would not have recognized that. It had been, you know, them jumping over the fire. But it's actually a form of worship. And it's passing through the fire.
Molech, is that where they was beating the drums and all that?
They beat the drums. They had orgies. They passed the children through the fire. They jumped as a ritual. They jumped over the fire.
Right.
It is...
H-I-M-M-M-O-N, Hamon. I'm not pronouncing it right. But is that the lake of fire?
You know, sister, I've not heard that word, but I can look into it. Say it again.
H-I-M-M. Yeah, I mean H-I-N-N-M-O-N.
H-I-N-N-M-O-N?
I think that's how I'm spelling it, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I've not, I don't remember
when
this
you said
word.
Molech, that brought that up to my remembrance. Oh, come on, I know I got it. I look up a lot of words.
Yeah,
from
I don't
now.
Find that word in my Bible, but let's see. Maybe it's phonetically sounds like that.
Okay. How about Tophet? T-O-P-H-E-T. Come on, Delano. I got it wrote down.
Yeah, Tophet would be equivalent to the lake of fire.
Okay. Yeah, I read a lot, Brother Mal. I challenge myself.
Amen. And we should. We should all. Everybody needs to study to show themselves approved. And the Most High doesn't show anybody.
But you know, I spelled it on my, I'm sorry. It's H-I-N-M-O-N. I spelt it wrong. I'm sorry. It's called the Valley of the Sons of Hemlock. It's a deep and narrow ravine with steep rocky sides. It's to the south and the west of Jerusalem, separating Mount Zion.
I have not studied this one, as I said, but I can look into it.
Spell that again.
H-I-N. Can you hear me?
Yes.
H-I-N-M-O-N. It means lamentation.
Okay.
I just, you know, Brother Miles, like I said, I'm a word freak, and I have to look these things up when I don't understand or know, so I can get a clarity of what I'm saying or what I'm reading.
Amen. Well, that's how we're supposed to study, for sure. But you got, you know, there's a lot of people that don't look up words, or they try to take the meaning from what they read, from the context of what they read. But a lot of times, the context won't give you the specific meaning of a particular word.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I'm still not finding that word.
Okay.
H-I-N-M-O-N.
Let me turn my dictionary off. H-I-N.
Yeah, I'm not finding anything in my Bible for that particular word. But if you misspelled it, just let me know.
Okay, well, I got it out of the King James Version Dictionary that I got online.
Okay, I have a King James Version of the Bible here. I got 23 versions. That, you know, sometimes they word things differently. But I'm not finding that word, period.
No, me either.
Okay, let me get it correct, because I might be spelling it wrong. Y'all know I'm 72 years old. I'm just giving you some use.
Amen. Don't be using that as no excuse.
Okay, I ain't. I tried to sneak that one in. You didn't let me work with it.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Sister O. Age is something else.
Okay, you know what? I was spelling it wrong. It's H-I-N-N-O-M. I was putting not enough N's and too many M's. It's H-I-N-N-O-M. And it's also called the Hills of the Evil Council. Okay, yeah. I said, wow. You got it, Nisi?
H-I-N-N-M-O-N.
Yeah. H-I-N-O-M.
O-M.
Right.
Okay. That will make a difference.
I know, huh?
Yeah. But I'm like, good grief. I'm still not finding this word. H-I-N-N-O-M.
I get excited, Brother Miles, and I think faster than I can talk.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I get excited.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so that's Joshua chapter 15.
Okay. Yep. Chapter 15, verse 8.
15 and 8.
Mm-hmm. It's also in Matthew 23. And Matthew 5.
Even the border of Edom and the wind of Zin, southward was the uttermost part of the south coast and their south border. So this is when he's giving the borders to the different tribes. It went out of the south side of Malachi Habim and passed along Zin and ascended up to the south side unto Kadesh Barnea. And thence it passed toward Hazmon, and east border was at the Salt Sea, even unto the end of Jordan. And their border was north quarter, and the border went up to Beth Hajalah, and passed along the north of Beth Araba, and the border went to the stone of Bahan, the son of Reuben. And the border went toward the Debir from the valley of Achor, and to the northward, looking toward Gilgal. That is before the going to Adunamim, which is one on the south side of the river. The border passed toward the east, and going out there above Engarah. The border went up to the valley of the sons of Hanam, and to the south side of. Now this is actually a man. The border went to the valley of the son of Hinnom, and I have to look and see who he is, unto the south side of the Jebusite. The same is Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lies before the valley of Hinnom. So this is a man in a valley that was named after him.
Right.
And the border drawn. So let me see what his name is in Hebrew. Verse 8. Hinnom, and it doesn't actually, my lexicon doesn't give me a meaning for his name.
Where did you get the meaning
for his name from?
Out the King James Dictionary. You see, it means lamentation.
I would have to dig into that, my sister, because what I have doesn't even give me a meaning for his name. Just says that he was a Jebusite.
Yep.
But it doesn't give me the meaning of his name. And a lot of times we do have to look up the meaning even of the name. Because the name also, as you said, it means lamentation. The valley of... If his name means lamentations, he'll be saying the Valley of Lamentation westward, which is the end of the Valley of the Giants northward. Let me do some research on this one.
Okay.
Because I'm not familiar with this particular name, and I need to see who he is the son of, if he gives that. The Valley of the Son of Hinnom.
Valley of the Son or Children of Hinnom.
Yeah, well, we'd have to find out who Hinnom actually is.
Okay.
It seems like he's a Canaanite because Jerusalem, the Jebusites were Canaanites.
Right.
So I'd have to do a little bit of research on this one. I'm not familiar with this particular one, so I can't really answer your question.
Oh, okay.
But I will find out what I can.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, anytime that we're reading the scriptures, a lot of the times the names in the book are not just given. You know, the names in the book aren't just given just to be given. It's a reason that you are given a name. And sometimes you have to go and look up the meaning of that person's name to even get what the Most High is trying to tell us. A classic example would be like Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. When the Most High showed me concerning them, like their name, Nadab means liberal. Abihu means worshiper. And so when the Most High burnt up Nadab and Abihu, he burnt up what? Liberal worship. He says, I told you I would be sanctified. So that their names actually meant liberal and worship, and he burnt them up because they offer strange fire. He says, you're not going to worship me any kind of way. You're not going to worship me how you want to worship me. You're going to worship me like I told you to worship me. And you're going to have to do things exactly the way that I said to do it. And so just in those things, so, yeah, I would encourage us all to not only look at the word in the context of the scripture, but then also if it's mentioning someone's name, look up their name. Because in the Hebrew, their name has a meaning, and it's a reason that the Most High used them. So it's also part of your studies. But this name, I have to admit, I was not familiar with this name. So I will, and him being a Jebusite, I may not even be able to find out who his father was. But I'll see what is out there on him, and I'll look in the context of the scripture and see if there is any other hidden meaning because of his name. Like you said, it means lamentation. I don't know that this would be Tophet also, unless I looked and found that its location matches the same place that Tophet is supposed to be, or the Lake of Fire. So yeah, on this one, I don't have an answer for you. But as I said, I will look into it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let me ask a question of the group. How do you feel about what we've been reading in the covenant? Has it been any revelation to you? How does it make you feel?
First of all, for me, I don't know about nobody else, but I feel ashamed because I haven't done nothing that he said to do. Because I didn't know, but that's not an excuse. I just feel bad. That I didn't know.
Well, not knowing is an excuse. It's an acceptable one by the Most High. It's the only one that's acceptable.
I feel
bad.
Because
if you knew to do it and you didn't do it, then that would be a problem.
Yeah.
But not knowing to do it.
You know, Brother Miles, I've been chasing the Father since I was 5 years old. That's why I can't understand why people don't take it seriously. It's not nothing for the glorified you. Oh, I know this. You know, it's an honor to me for him to even allow me to learn what I learned. And when I learned that what I didn't do because of ignorance, I felt extremely bad, embarrassed even. I don't know about nobody else. I don't
Amen.
Know, you know, you might be in your thing where you bougie. I don't know.
Where you bougie?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know. That's why I say I don't know what people are in it for. I don't know. But I'm in it for the approval of the Father.
let him know that
Amen.
I love him. And I appreciate
yes.
him for bringing me up this far to let me know of him. Like I said, I've been running this road since I was 5, so I don't know what everybody else running for.
Amen.
I don't
Amen. I would say that the one thing I would pick up out of what you said is if you don't know, when you find out, if it doesn't make you feel a certain way, like you said, you know, you were embarrassed, you were ashamed. If it doesn't make you feel a certain, because, you know, even like I said, for me, some of this stuff is not stuff that the Most High has ever had me on. So why when, you know, he starts to have me to pastor over it, over, you know, a group and to look into these things, some of it in the light of it, you know, it's a shock for me. Because I grew up in the church also. And the Most High brought me out of the church. And there's a lot of doctrines that I was indoctrinated with in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing certain things, I know that this is from the Most High to even have me to see it this way. Because it's going back and wanting to really being responsible for you all. I don't want to teach you anything that is not true.
Amen, bro.
Nothing. And I sincerely care about my salvation and your salvation. And so I really want to know what's right. I really want to do what's right.
Amen.
And so the Most High, you know, I will say this, and this is what I was told even before, but, you know, in the Christian church. The Most High actually gives me the ability to speak for him. And he doesn't give everybody that ability. He doesn't give everybody that right. But I've always had that. That to speak on his behalf and to see things from his perspective. You know, so when he says, it's big, when he says, if you will obey my voice, and I'm looking at our people, I'm reading down through them, I'm like, wait a minute, he hasn't even told them what he expects, but he hasn't told them the rules, and they have agreed. But from the very beginning, he says, if you will obey my voice and not break my covenant. Didn't tell them what was in the covenant. And they agreed. All that Yah has said, we will do. Haven't even heard anything yet. But they agreed to it. So I'm looking at it and saying, okay, Most High, what is it that everything that they agreed to? And how is it that Israel went about to establish their righteousness over yours? What specifically did they do? Because I don't want to make the same mistake.
Amen.
And so we go in and start reading. I'm like, wow. Because his judgments don't go along with our morals today. And when we read these things, I think we are reading them, but we are reading over them. Now, this is just my opinion. Because I'm trying to assess where I am at as a person, where we are at as a group, where we are at as a people, where the world is at in concern in relationship to the Word of the Most High. Can't fix what you don't know is broke. and you can't fix or address your issues if you won't own up to your problems.
Amen.
So root cause, you know, for my job, we look at root cause for everything. Can't fix it if you don't know what's actually causing it. What is the root cause of this? Can't fix it. Can't correct it. You'll be dealing with the symptoms, and because you didn't address the root cause, the problem will happen again. Can't put any measures, anything in place to correct it. So, anyone else? We can be honest, open. This is, you know, this is reviewing what the Most High requires of us. You gotta feel some type of way about it.
I haven't been able to listen to every one of them because of the new job. But today I'm off, so I'm going to be going back over and re-listening to them all. But the parts that I have heard, some of it I did not know, and I felt convicted, like, you know, these things I need to change and certain things that we need to do. But then most of it, it's been in alignment with, I agree with.
All right, amen. Amen. You know, the scripture says sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, anything that's going to bring us out of covenant relationship with the Most High, we don't want to do. And I don't think that the, you know, still looking for other input, but was everybody aware of the ramifications of disobeying the commandments and what it did to your relationship with the Most High, the contract?
No. Yeah, I think and that pushes us away from him.
Okay. Anyone else?
Makes it hard for us to hear.
Amen. Anyone else? Because I know most of you have been there at these lessons. How many of us understood or understand that when you are outside of the covenant, the promises don't apply to you?
Amen, I do. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Come on now.
I know.
I understand.
You understood? I couldn't quite hear you.
Yes, I understood.
Okay. So if we understood being outside the covenant means that the promises don't apply to us.
Why would you want to be out of the covenant?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, why would anybody want to be out of the covenant or allow themselves to be out of the covenant, especially if they know better?
That's what's going to be my question.
I know this for a fact, that when I steer to the left or the right, when I stay on the straight and narrow path and I keep my word with the Father, then everything runs smooth as butter. It really does.
Yeah,
but when I
really
veer
does.
Off to the left or the right, and I do something that I know better that I shouldn't be doing, or I know that I broke my promise, then that's when all hell breaks loose. So that's why I was saying earlier that I thank him that I'm getting stronger and reminding myself and staying in the lessons, because this is another thing. I thank the Father that I'm able to listen to the lessons almost every day or every other day, and if I can't listen to it, I go back and I listen to it later. But if you stay in the Word like you're supposed to, you really stay in His Word, you really study to show yourself approved, you really fast here and there, you pray, and He just knows your heart and your character, I tell you there's nothing that the Father won't do for you. But when you start becoming God and you start trying to make things move on your own, and you break those promises and then you make excuses, then, yeah, that's when all hell breaks loose and nothing seems to work. So I'm tired of that. I'm done with that. That's why I'm working on my salvation. I'm just like, I don't have time for that. Let me just look forward, stay in this book, be the best person I can be. And when I walk into this world, this place, this universe, this planet, whatever people want to call it, give my first and my best and just help those in need, whoever He puts across my path. Don't try to go out there and try to play God and be the Messiah and try to help everybody and their mama. Just whoever the Lord puts across my path at that day, at that specific time, if I'm able to assist, I will. But other than that, I'm making sure that Rhea is together, because that's my problem. I was trying to fix everybody else and not myself, and then that's how I start breaking covenant.
Amen. Amen to that. So when we get into the new, because see, I'm very particular in about and being keen on the words that the Most High use, because I really think that we as people, the human race, have taken His words too lightly. And we don't really understand the significance and the impact,
amen,
you know, of His words. You know, those simple words, if you obey my voice and break not my covenant. Everything is hinged on that. Everything concerning us is hinged on those words. And so, you know, when I was looking at the spirit of whoredom that the Most High put on our people, and it being a root cause of some of the things that we're going through, but even the root cause of that is not obeying His voice. That's why He put that spirit on us. That's why He scattered us. So this really is the root cause of everything. And it goes all the way back to the first words He said to Israel, if you obey my voice and don't break my covenant. The thing is I think we, and I'm going to say it this way, I think we rely upon the mercy of the Most High way too much.
Amen.
And what do I mean by
that? Amen to that. Yes, I do.
You know,
we
will take it for granted and think that He's got to.
That's right. That's right.
And the truth of the matter is, when I'm looking in this scripture, there's certain things that He says that I just believe that we take it out of context. And we want to apply it to us, and it gives us an excuse, a reason, if we fail. I don't like to hear anybody say, I'm going to try.
Amen.
Why don't I want to hear anybody say they're going to try? Because in trying is implied that you will fail.
If you fail, you give up.
Right. I tried. No. Do.
Do. Amen.
Don't even come with the position or the you know, with the supplication or the premise that you might fail. Failure is not acceptable. If you go into something with that from the very beginning, then it's self-fulfilling. What you speak has a tendency to what? Manifest. So if you say you're trying, you're going to try, that means that you already doubt and you already have made room to fail. But the Most High doesn't give us any, you know, the conditions are if you do this, then I will do that. That's the only if conditions he give us. The only choice, if you do this, then I will do that. If you obey my voice, if you don't break my covenant, then you shall be this. But when you don't do it, somehow, I don't know, somebody can explain this to me. But if you don't do it, and you still expect to be what it is that he said you're going to be. When he says that we broke his covenant, then every promise of the first covenant is null and void to everybody that broke it. Now we are in the second covenant, and this is where I really want us to get to. If we break that covenant, then the promises of that covenant are what? Null and void. That means entering into his kingdom is null and void. That means your salvation is null and void. That's how serious this is. That's how, if we have that understanding, how is it any kind of way possible that we would allow ourselves to slip a little bit? What in this world is worth losing your salvation over?
Nothing.
That's what we really need to consider, because we will say, you know, we're not staying on the straight and narrow. And this is really where we need to get to, with the understanding that your salvation, every time that you fall short, you place your salvation in jeopardy. And you don't know at what point the Most High says, no more. Why would, you know, for me, like I said, the more I know, the more I hold myself accountable to, the more I don't want to risk it at all.
Yep. Amen, brother. Amen.
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 So, you know, that's really where I'm trying to get us to. Why even put your salvation even close to being at risk for something that you know only going to last a few minutes, couple of hours, whatever the case may be, you would put your whole entire eternity, you would change your position in eternity from paradise to the lake of fire. I'm trying to get us to the place where we wouldn't even consider it. No way that I'm going to put my salvation in jeopardy for that. It's really where we need to be. And to be living for that. I'm not putting my salvation in jeopardy, sister or brother. All because of what? When, you know, reading his covenant and seeing what's in there and understanding that, again, I don't, you know, I really want us, when we're reading these statutes, laws, and commandments, because, you know, we hope that a lot of that stuff don't apply today. But I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it still does.
It still does. Amen.
So, you know, the mentality should be, just like the Most High told me, ride in the car. Don't you know I will kill you? Everything that we've been reading, for the most part, the penalty for it is what?
Death.
Death.
Yeah.
so I'm not seeing, you know, when, you know, I'm not seeing, for those who, I think the closer you draw to the Most High, the most, the more you ought to see how serious he is.
Amen.
Amen.
And that he's not playing any games. And
amen.
When we are ignorant of his ways, when we are ignorant of his laws, and when we're ignorant of how he operates, I mean, he told Nadab and Abihu, he had Moses to teach them, these are the ordinances of the temple, of the altar. This is when you do this, and this is when you do that. Aaron, this is when you do this, this is when you do that. And it has to be done exactly after the pattern in the heavens. It should be built exactly after the pattern, and the operations have to be exactly after the pattern in the heavens. And when Nadab and Abihu burnt strange fire one time, they didn't get to say, I'm sorry. He burnt them up right away. I told you I would be sanctified before the people. You don't treat me as common. You don't just do what I say to do how you want to do it or any kind of way. You don't take that liberty to do that. Moses messed up one time. Shall we bring water out of this brick, out of this rock for you? And the Most High said, what'd you say?
I know how.
We? What do you mean we? Because you said that, you can go over there and look at it. You can go on this mountain and look over there, but you can't go in. When the brother took the stuff from AI, the gold and whatever else he took, and the Most High said, there's sin in the camp.
Uh-huh.
And he left. He says, there's one person in Israel that sinned, and I can't be around it. Now you call everybody up until you find who it is. I already know who it is, but you're going to find out who it is. And when you find out, what did they do?
Kill it.
Did they say, brothers, don't do that no more?
Uh-uh. Kill it.
That's right. They took the brother to this valley, and the whole people stoned him and burned everything he had. So when we're looking at these examples in the scriptures, and I can find more, we got to understand that he just does not play. And somehow, I don't know where this came from, where this spirit came from, because we needed salvation and we needed to be saved, and he is merciful because, think about it. Think about it this way. If the Most High has to dispense mercy to every person on this planet or every person that lived, how merciful is he? But then we think that we can get, because of the way it's written, that we can just come back and get mercy time after time after time after time. I don't see that in the scriptures. I don't see those people who transgress like that, you know, hey, they might have had a chance to repent one time, but if there were certain things, he didn't ask that man who took those things from AI, repent of that, and I'll have mercy on you. He didn't tell the man picking up the sticks on the Sabbath, or after he had told him don't do no service on the Sabbath, and he go pick up sticks. He didn't say, hey, bring him over here and have him to repent.
He said, don't kill him.
So, you know, I'm looking at these things, and I'm saying, you know, the examples that are in the book, Most High says, you know what? You are all out of order, and I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to give you a way to come back. Repent. If you do something wrong, repent and turn away from it and come back. If you do it on your own, before he pronounces judgment or he wants to take it out on you, then that's going to, it's in his realm. But I say, looking at the scriptures, you don't even want to take that chance. Let's put ourselves in this place. We know we have all fallen short. Me, you, everybody. And so don't even think I'm trying to put myself up on a pedestal anywhere. As I said, I'm in the hands of the Most High, and I pray that he don't impute my sins against me. Because the things that I'm telling you, I'm guilty of them. I was guilty of them until I stopped doing it. But it's still my life and my salvation is in his hands. So I'm not, you know, I am very afraid for where I'm going to end up at. I won't know until I go before him on the throne.
Amen.
And he says, either enter in, or you go into the lake. I just know that when I know to do better, I ought to do better. So as the Most High has shown me, even myself in the scriptures, then I have had to turn away from those things and really go before him and say, please, 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 don't hold this against me. Because I see just how serious you are about this. And it's me, myself, who wasn't taking it as serious on the level as you have portrayed it in the scriptures. And now that I know better, I must do better. I can't keep being that same old person that I used to be. And so as we are going through this, accountability. I know that the Most High is merciful. I know that he's gracious. I also know there's a point where he says, I've had enough. And it's not the same number of times for each person.
Amen.
So, I pray, number one, that everybody don't ever think that I'm putting myself up on a pedestal any kind of way, because I've already told you. I fear for my salvation. I don't take it for granted. Because when I look at these scriptures and I read myself, I was doing that. I have done that. I'm just as guilty as anybody else that does not change the scriptures. And I'm not going to justify my mess. I'm not going to teach you, oh, that's okay because of this, because I was guilty of it too. So I'm not going to try to justify my way out of it. If the penalty is death for it, and that's what the Most High gives me for it, then he's righteous and that's what I deserve.
Amen.
But don't mean that I'm going to teach you different so that, you know, I'm trying to keep you out of the same thing I was in. And for those who are coming after us, they shouldn't have to make the same mistakes that we made. Don't say that it's going to stop them from making it. But they at least ought to have a chance not to make those same mistakes, not through ignorance. So, yeah, I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm placing myself up on a pedestal and that I'm that perfect. I will just say this. I really do try that when I know better, to do better.
Man.
And as I read it, if the Most High says yes, then my heart says yes now. And I'm not looking for ways to, you know, justify myself and to stay in a certain way. I am looking to, if it's wrong, then no, I'm not doing it.
Man.
If it's right, then I want to do more of that.
Yes.
You know, until the day that I die. But I want us to understand that, no, that is, my heart is not to try to put myself up here, because I'm telling you, I want everybody to hear this. I was just as guilty as anyone else. The Most High just happened to let me see it. And he didn't kill me yet.
Yeah, amen. Huh. Amen, bro.
And so I cannot not tell you. And as he allows me to see, the more obedient that I am with him, the more that he allows me to see from his perspective. When I'm telling you things, you know, you might not feel that I have compassion. But it's not that I don't have compassion. It's just that I'm seeing it through his eyes and how he's seeing it. And he's not feeling very compassionate about it, because you are choosing to do wrong, even when you know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make him happy at all. And I think that's the difference. If I was looking through the eyes of a man, and from a perspective of me as a human being, I may teach it a little bit different. But the Most High gives it to me to look at it through his eyes. And to teach it through his eyes. He wants us all to repent. He wants us all to turn away from our wicked ways. He wants us all to go by his judgments and his commandments, his righteousness, and don't establish our own as if we know more than him. That is the difference. Because I can teach these things another way, but then it gives us wiggle room.
I don't want no wiggle room.
We will wiggle right into sin.
Mm-mm, I don't want no wiggle room. I want you to beat me upside my head. Please.
Amen. Well, I'm not even trying to beat you upside your head, sister. I'm just trying to appeal to your heart. Appeal to your heart. If it hits you in the head, so be it.
Amen. Amen. I'd rather get beat up now than later.
Yeah, I'm trying to, all those that the Most High puts in my path to hear his word, I really want us to have a genuine fear of him.
Yeah.
Because this is what he says. And to obey him in all that he says, to get out of our own feelings, get out of our own thoughts, get out of our own morality, and take on his morality. Just that simple. So it's from his eyes, from his view. That's what the way he gives it for me to teach it, for me to understand it, for me to be convicted by it. You know, if I wasn't convicted by this stuff, trust me, I couldn't teach it to you. I couldn't even show it to you in the scripture because he wouldn't let me see it that way. But please, 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 please don't ever think that Brother Miles is trying to put himself up there on a pedestal saying that he's perfect and he's done all these things perfectly, because I haven't.
Ain't no perfect people.
The Most High had to show me, I have to show you.
Amen.
And trust me, though, I will say this. Everything that he has shown me that I had been guilty of, trust me, I have repented of it and turned away from it. You can believe that. And I just pray, like I said, that he don't impute it, that he doesn't hold it against me.
Brother Miles, I would just like to say I appreciate you because you tell the truth, and I would prefer somebody to tell me the truth that I know that steady doing the same thing wrong and over the same thing wrong. So I appreciate it. I really do.
Amen.
It makes you look at yourself.
It
makes you look deep down into you.
Yeah, I have to look at me. I can't hold you to a standard that I don't hold myself to.
Nah.
I can't teach you something and say, you got to be that way, and at the same time, I'm not doing that. No,
right.
I refuse to be hypocritical.
Amen.
And if the Most High shows me, I'm going to show you.
Amen. I appreciate it. I really do.
I do too.
Because I've been lied to all my life. I don't want to be lied to no more.
Nope.
Amen.
Nope.
And, you know, I'll just say it to you this way. What I've realized is, because you hear this complaint about a lot of people coming out of the churches, a lot of, you know, what I have found, even the pastor that I came from under, because I'm going to go see him here soon, because one of the first things told us, and he never has been able to get his church to move this way, once you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you have to go back into the law so that you don't transgress. But he's never been able to get his congregation to move that way because it's always been too Christianized in the teaching. And I believe that the Most High sent me there originally. He asked me to be his assistant pastor, and he has a decent-sized church, 4,000 or 5,000 people. But I told him I wasn't called to be his assistant pastor. That's not what the Most High called me there for. And I said, and I know you need an assistant, but I'm not supposed to be here that long. And the Most High ran me out of that church. Because he knew that I would not have left that church until I had the blessings of my pastor. But it wasn't meant for me to be there, so the Most High ran me out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So that I wouldn't do that. Okay, so, but I am going to go see him because I believe that the Most High has given me a word for him and his congregation. And the very thing that he is not able to do, the Most High is going to give me the ability to do it for him and his congregation, not for me to be there and stay there. Because they're not looking at the word of the Most High through the correct filter. And he's a dynamic preacher. He's actually a dynamic teacher. You know, I've never met a man that could give you the word in three different levels in the same message. You know, if you a beginner, here's for you. And if you are intermediate, here's for you. And if you think you're a Bible scholar, here's for you. In the same message. It's what drew me to him. But that he's also filled with the Ruach. But he can never get the people to move concerning the law. But the Most High has been putting it on my heart, you know, to go back to him and to have this conversation with him. Anyway, stay in your word. Commit to the Most High. What you read, move yourself out of the way and just let his word speak to you. I know for a fact I know for a fact there's some things that we have read that are hard. And it might have us feeling some kind of way and we just don't want to say it. Nevertheless, let the word of Yah be true and all of us alive.
Amen.
Let his word always be true. If we find ourselves in opposition to his word, let his word be true. You know, there were some things that I had feelings about, had understandings about, I felt I had understandings about. But that when I read it in the word and the Most High gave me clarity on it, I had to put my feelings down. I had to put my understanding, former understanding, down. And just say, yes, Yah, your will be done. And each of us has to come to that place. You know, I don't ever want it said of any of us that we allowed our righteousness to supersede the righteousness of the Most High. That's the sin our forefathers did. We can't make the same mistake. If we're making the same mistake, as soon as we realize that it's a mistake, we must stop and repent of it. You know, if you're doing it and you're doing it in ignorance, you didn't know it was what you're doing, then he finds that acceptable. Repent from and turn from that. But the day you know that it's wrong and you decide to continue to do it because you just can't move yourself out of the way, that is the day that you have let your righteousness supersede his. But we don't want to be that way. And I don't want any of us to end up in that category. When you're doing this stuff out of ignorance, fine. But I know for a fact, if you're listening to me, you can't be doing these things out of ignorance. It will be out of disobedience. This won't be out of disobedience to me. So I pray for everyone today that Yah blesses you in your situation, that he gives you favor in your situation, that as you follow him, that he gives you favor. That whatever you put your hands to, you will be blessed in it. And that you will do the work of the kingdom. I pray that you join me in the work, that you become committed to it, that I'm not just a teacher you're listening to. Because things are coming.
You know the address of the church? Yeah.
Things are coming. And we need to be ready for.
Lakeisha, mute your line, love. We can hear you.
All right. So, we all struggle with things, okay? And I'm praying that whatever you're struggling with, we rebuke that spirit even right now. We rebuke that situation. And we command in the name of Jesus, and we go before the throne and we ask that Yah will turn these things in your favor, that he will remove them from you, far from you. And that you might be equipped to do the work of the kingdom. This is what we're assigned. To the priesthood, This is what he called us for. Whatever your profession. I mean, I'm an engineer by profession, but my work is the work of the Most High.
Amen.
And if I said that backwards, just reverse it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the Most High comes first. His work comes first. His purpose for my life, the purpose for my life is his work. And it's for each and every one of us. So I pray that Yah gives you what you need, takes away from you what you don't need, and gives you favor so that you know that he is with you. Don't think that it's you. Know that it's him in your life. Give him the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything. And obey his voice. In that is our healing. Period. Disobedience, don't think you're going to be blessed. Obey his voice. Harden not your heart. Think about what I've talked about as far as coming together as a group to do the land purchase, to set up a place. That it won't just be for us. And we don't ever want to look at it that way. But that we would have a safe haven to go to when this world really starts to crumble and starts to go through. And if the Most High does not gather us, that we are all of like mind, are in the same place, looking out for one another's good. Think on that. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen or unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you and the Most High loves you. Let's be obedient to him. He loves those that obey him and keep his commandments. We can do this. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, my sister.
Shalom, family. Have a blessed week.
Shalom.
You as well. Everyone as well. Have a blessed day.
Sometimes all I want to do working now, I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no need. I need a